Amen. We're continuing by the work and power and person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit who causes us and causes our mind to be renewed. He's the one. If we yield our mind and let him control the mental processes, then we have a great chance at having our minds renewed. Yeah. As we yield to the power and control of the Holy Spirit, I have in my notes here that as a result of the Spirit's control of our mind, our thinking ability, our moral reasoning, and our spiritual understanding, we've just then been enabled and positioned to walk in the joy of the Lord through obedience to the Word of God. It is us making a conscious decision. And I think we hear that, well, at least a lot here at Word of Life, but I wonder, are we really doing that? Are we really yielding our mental processes to the Holy Spirit? Are we really beginning to think like the Word of God thinks, like God thinks? We have the mind of Christ. That's in, I think that's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and about verse 16, somewhere in there, that we have the mind of Christ. And Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this attitude or let this mindset be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we can have the mindset of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. I mean, we have. If you're born again, you have as a present possession the mind of Christ. You can right now, you have the ability right now to have the mindset of Christ, the attitude of Christ. You have as a present possession and are right now sharers and partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and about verse 4. So if you have the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ, the attitude of Christ, and we have our partakers, sharers of the divine nature, then there's no reason why we can't think as God thinks. Because he showed us how he thinks in his word. He shows us how he reasons in his word. He shows us the attitude of Christ in his word. But having done all of that, we still must, on purpose, yield control of our mental processes, of our mind, our thinking ability, our moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding to the control of the Holy Spirit. Let him run this. And I have told you time and time again, when the Holy Spirit controls this, he controls this, comes out your mouth, and how you act. How many like to have control of their whole body? What you say, what you do. Amen. Amen. At all times, you can. Gotta yield it. And so we said here that as a result of the Spirit's control of the mental processes of the believer, as a result of the Spirit's control of the believer's mind, comma, thinking ability, comma, moral reasoning, comma, and spiritual understanding, the believer then is enabled to walk in the joy of the Lord through obedience to the Word of God. We can walk in the joy of the Lord. So let's go back to James. Are we at James chapter 1, yep, verse 2? Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisterin, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy, not just some joy mixed with much grief, but pure joy, unmixed joy, complete joy, transcendent joy, comprehensive joy, total joy, sheer joy. In other words, have a settled, definitive, decisive conviction to face trials as a source of pure joy. Mm-hmm. Unmixed joy. Notice settled, definitive, decisive conviction. You have to decide to do that. Mm-hmm. Because it's certainly not automatic. As we said last week and the week before, and I love how one commentator puts it, we are not to act joyful. Right. It's not to pretend that we're joyous, but to be genuinely joyful. And we found out again why. I know it's rerun, but we need to hear it and hear it and hear it. It bears repeating. It's because we understand that all is well. Amen. Between us and the Lord. Amen. That's where our joy, that is the source of our joy. Our relationship with God the Father and His relationship with us, that's the source of our joy. And so there's nothing that should interfere with that joy. And so we can be genuinely joyful. Now, we said last week or the week before, it is a matter of will, not feelings. It's a matter of will, not feelings. The will, the mental powers, manifested as choosing, desiring, or intending, a fixed and persistent intent or purpose. The capability of conscious choice and decision and intention. It is a matter of the will. It's not accidental. It's on purpose. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It is not a matter of feelings, because if that's the case, it is an impossibility for you to face joy, trials with joy. It's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of choosing, of desiring to do that, of intending to do that. It is a fixed and persistent intent or purpose. We talked about that last week, fixed and intent. A fixed and persistent intent or purpose. Fixed, persistent intent or purpose. It's not a flighty decision. It's not entered into lightly, because those trials can be very severe. And it takes more than a light purpose and intent to walk into this trial with joy. And we can do it. Why? Because God commanded it. We can do it because God commanded it. Well, what does that mean? Since God commanded it, talking about to His children, then we have the ability to do it. And the ability that we've been given to face all trials with pure, unmixed joy can be accomplished with the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't do that on your own, but you can decide to do it by using the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you make the decision to walk through this trial joyfully, thank God you don't have to grit your teeth and bear through it. You actually can access supernatural power. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, it's like, go back to the hammer and the nail with the fist and the hammer. You know, you got a nail, and you put it up on the wood, hold it in there, and you don't have to. Thank God, you go, I'm going to knock this nail into this wood. I'm going to make a decision. It's a fixed and persistent intent that I'm going to be purposeful in knocking this nail into this piece of wood. Then what's at your disposal? A hammer. Mm-hmm. Take the hammer. Boom. You can accomplish that. So the hammer in this case would be the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm going to face this with joy. Word of God says I can do it. I've been commanded to do it, by the way. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face these trials. You've been commanded to do that. So when you say, you know, I'm obeying the word of God, glory be to God, I'm going to stand up in here with a fixed and persistent intent and purpose to face this trial with joy. Then what? Guess what you can do? Reach for the hammer of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, the power. Be strong, what? In the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have access to that kind of power. Glory be to God. So when we do make up our mind with a fixed intent and purpose, when we have in our mental powers and we manifest those mental powers, put them on display through choosing and desiring and intending to face it with joy, we can accomplish that purpose with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ. Mm-hmm. And so God commands it, and therefore it's within our ability to do it under the power, guidance, and direction of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I like this comment. Someone said, the more we rejoice in our testings, the more we realize that they are not liabilities, comma, but privileges. Not liabilities, comma, but privileges. Why? Because ultimately they're beneficial to us and not harmful. Ultimately, they're going to benefit us. Why? All things work together for good. So their privileges, opportunities to receive benefit, spiritual benefit from these trials. And so they're not harmful, no matter how destructive and painful the immediate experience of them might be. That's really something to meditate on, that they are privileges and not liabilities. The only way we'll ever get to that place of seeing trials as privileges and not liabilities is through constant practice. And that's where we kind of ended last week. And I know we're kind of tired, and so I want to kind of go back over it. This is really crucial. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to say it again. The lead-in statement to this, to transition to this, is the only way we'll ever get to that place. What place? Seeing trials as privileges, ultimately beneficial for our spiritual growth, is through constant practice. And believe me, we have a lot of opportunities to practice because there are trials all around. How many going through something right now? How many going through something? Yeah. Whether it's you directly, family members, indirectly, yeah, on down. You're going through something. Mm-hmm. So you, through constant, we have time to practice getting our minds in that place where we can count it as a benefit, a privilege, rather than a liability. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. And we talked about that's not talking about a baby or a literal child. Remember that? What does the word infant mean in the Greek?
Immature.
Thank you. It's not talking about that they're a little child or referring to them because they're a baby, even spiritually speaking. What they're talking about is that they are immature. In other words, they're not grasping and apprehending spiritual concepts that they should be. Mm-hmm. So they're immature. But solid food, verse 14, is for the mature. So you can see the contrast. Mm-hmm. The immature and the mature. Now, the difference is that the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. They practice it. So I want to go back over this last time we were kind of winding down, and I just felt that I don't know how much you actually got then. You do get tired. It's Wednesday, midweek, been to work all day and so forth. And so I want to kind of go over it again. So the word practice, again, refers to a habit of the body or mind. A habit of the body or mind. How many know that you can train your mind like you do your body? As a matter of fact, if you really think about it, the training of the body begins with the mind. Because you're telling yourself, you know, you got to pull that elbow in, so you're going through it, it's really in conjunction. So it refers to the habit of the body or mind. Habit. That's a key word. Refers to a habit of the body or mind. Meaning a routine, a pattern. A routine, a pattern. Something that you won't deviate from because you have practiced it so often. A habit of the body or mind. Here in this verse, verse 14, it speaks of the habitual use of the perceptive faculties or the senses, which are being vigorously exercised. Now, we're talking about perception or perceptive, that which you perceive. You're talking about having like insight through observation, through discerning, being keenly aware. It sounds a lot like 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, be diligent, be watchful, be on guard. You're not just going through the day just lackadaisical, kind of mentally just out of it, kind of lazy in your thinking and lazy in your discernment. That's dangerous. Because things that start happening around you that you don't realize are happening, but you should realize it had you been on your game, so to say. Mm-hmm. Did you mean to repeat anything? Mm-hmm. The habitual use of the perceptive powers. Being sensitive to that around you. Having insight. Being observant, being discerning, being keenly aware of what's happening. That takes practice so that you don't just lackadaisically just saunter through your day, mentally kind of shut down, being unobservant, not keenly aware, not very discriminating. That's how you get in trouble. That's when Sister Durong come up, or Brother Durong come up to you, and you just kind of just, you know, lackadaisically just seeing things, and you're not, you know, you're just not keenly aware. You're just not observant. You know, you're not sensitive and insightful. You're not letting the Holy Spirit through your mind keep you on top of things. Next thing you know, you've fallen into something like, man, I didn't see this coming, but you should have. And so that takes practice. The habitual use of the perceptive faculties or the perceptive senses, which are being vigorously exercised, meaning that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to control your mindset to the point that it keeps you on top of mm-hmm. you're seeing things constantly, consistently, continually. Told you many times, we speak around 20 to 30,000, maybe more, thoughts, words rather, per day. Each one of those words are preceded by a thought. So you think at least 30,000, 20 to 30,000 thoughts at least, and then you know you don't say everything that comes into your head. So there are even more thoughts than that we don't speak. You may be looking at 30, 40,000 thoughts per day, every day. We need help keeping a lid on that. We need to have our perceptive faculties or senses vigorously exercised. So when it says, this is talking about this practice, it's a habit of our perceptive faculties, being able to perceive and to understand and have keen insight and being vigorous in that. Now, solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses, which are the spiritual faculties of perception or discernment. It's the spiritual faculties of perception or discernment, intellectual understanding and judgment. When we're talking about senses, we're talking about being able through the spiritual perception to discern and perceive and understand and then judge what's going on. You see things, they enter into the eye gate, they enter into the ear gate. At that moment, your perception is going through it like, okay, what's going on here? What did I just see? What's the deal with that? That looks a little strange. I think that's okay. You're just aware. And a person who stays sharp in their perceptive senses and abilities, when they stay sharp, they're less likely to fall into overtaken in a fault. I think Galatians 6:1 talks about, brother, if one is overtaken in a fault, like they were caught up, tripped up into it, you was a spiritual restorer. That will prevent that, or at least cut the odds of that happening way down. Then you relish the verse that says, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, if we aren't ignorant of how he operates, then that means we understand how we are. If we're not ignorant, to be not ignorant means that you know what's going on. Well, this is how. Do practice. If you exercise this, there are some places you'd never go. Unless you just had to. There are some people you would never be around. Unless you just have to. Because your senses are being trained. They're astute. They're sharp. They're getting sharper and sharper. There are things now, I'm hoping, that you understand now and can see coming from afar off, that where maybe last year or 2 years or 3 years ago, you'd have never seen until it got right up on you. The old proverbial, if that had been a snake, it'd have bit me because it got so close. There were times we were bitten. And there were times that we started seeing slithering close, and then time we seen it far off. And you want to keep exercising your spiritual faculties of perception and discernment. Perception and discernment. Intellectual understanding and judgment. Discernment. Perception. Those are key words. Being able to discriminate. To be sensitive. Discriminate means to, not in the, we already start thinking about it with ethnic discrimination. Discrimination means to make a, between two or more, to make a judgment on it. Like this is good and this is bad. Or this is good and this is good and this is bad. It can be two or more. Being able to judge, to discern. You have your senses trained, disciplined through vigorous exercise to bring under control. All of this is to result in the formation of mental habits, mentally habitual thinking, perception, discernment, judgment, intellect, sensitivities, acknowledgement. Just sharp. And you have the Holy Spirit that can walk you through this. Remember, we talked about earlier, yielding your mental processes and so forth to the control of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that and obey the word of God, the mind is being renewed, the mind is being trained, being vigorously exercised. You'll find your thought life will clean up. You find out that the word life will clean up, and you find out what you do with your body will clean up. Your actions will clean up. They become more in line with the word of God. But it must be trained through vigorous exercise to bring your mind, your senses under control. I don't think we realize that we're mentally, there are a ton of Christians who are mentally undisciplined. Just tremendously undisciplined. And I'm talking about starts in the pulpit too. Just say anything, do anything, no kind of discipline. You know, there's a time where there was, I don't know if it's still happening now, but there's a period of time where it was fashionable to use profanity in the pulpit. That is ridiculous. Where is your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that that grieves the Holy Spirit and that quenches him? He can't operate in no mess like that. You're just undisciplined. There's some of us who are disciplined in certain areas, but we don't think of being disciplined in our mind. We kind of just kind of let that go. We say, well, let me go ahead and try to get control of this this diet, you know, how I eat, or let me do some exercising. But mentally, we're just thinking any kind of thing. Day in and day out. And we need to turn that over to the Lord and say, Lord, show me how I can be more disciplined in my spiritual faculties of perception and discernment. So he says here, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to do what? To discern, to discriminate, to distinguish, to determine what? Good and evil. And well, that's what gets us in trouble. Not seeing, walking right up to you, good and evil. Not being able to distinguish or determine that this is good and this is evil. When we talk about good and evil, they said in this context, one commentator says, good, meaning good and wholesome teaching, or evil and hurtful teaching. That's a big problem too amongst the body of Christ. If they like the teacher and their ministry is big, folks tend to listen to them, regardless of being, you know, what they're saying almost. We just don't have the mental discipline and the knowledge of the word of God to say, well, yo, whoa, whoa, that's not right. We just say, amen, hallelujah. Let's go back to James chapter 1. So if you're talking about having any shot, if you will, at counting it pure joy when you face trials, you must discipline the mind. And by the way, you can use this teaching, these teaching interchangeable. The series we just finished on Sunday, Embracing Hardship. Any shot at embracing hardship, hugging it, accepting it, welcoming sufferings and hardships and times that are difficult and hard to bear for the glory of God. Why did that come through? Amen. If you have any shot at embracing hardship, got to start here. Amen. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Father. Go, consider it all joy. Went over that. Pure joy, unmixed joy, sheer joy, total joy, transcendent joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter. Let's move over to the next word. When you encounter. I think King James says when you fall into, I think. Encounter is a compound Greek word that means to fall into and become surrounded by various trials. So we're not talking about just a little something out in front. It is as if you fell into a pool of water. Its water is all around you. He is saying if you are submerged and surrounded by various trials, to count even that as pure joy. Not just a single trial, but the example he used is trial after trial after trial happening sometimes at the same time. And what kind of trials are there? He said when you encounter various trials, meaning numerous, different, all types, all kinds, all sorts, all forms, all varieties, all manners. That's what that word means. All kind of trials, all sorts of trials, all types of trials, all forms of trials. They can be numerous and different. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter and are completely surrounded by all kinds of what? Trials, which are tests, troubles, challenges, afflictions, persecutions, suffering, etc. Now, trials there's no good or bad to it. So trials can be that which God allows Satan to bring up on you. Trials can be what God himself is bringing up on you. It doesn't make a difference. The response is the same. We are to count it pure joy. Because ultimately, they all come from the hand of our kind Father. Whether it comes through Satan or directly from God, our response is to be the same. Tests, troubles, challenges, afflictions, persecutions, and sufferings. If you want to break that down, trials, there are internal trials, and then there are external trials. There are internal troubles and trials, and there are external. Internal can include things like personal disappointment. Talking about internal trials, internal troubles, sufferings, and so forth. Can be personal disappointment, personal unfulfillment, unreturned, unanswered, or unrequited love. You put your love out there and it's not returned, so it's unanswered. And I'll read these again. Emotions that never seem to be settled. Fears, anxieties, worries, cares, and frustrations in general. Dreams never realized. Unmet expectations. Loneliness, loss, depression, etc. All of those are internal trials. You might say, man, you got an external too on top of all that? Yes. Internal again, personal disappointment, personal unfulfillment. Unreturned, unanswered, or unrequited love. Emotions that never seem to be subtle. Fears, anxieties, worries, cares, and frustrations. Dreams never realized. Unmet expectations. Loneliness, loss, depression, to name a few. There's a lot of trials, all kind of ways. We deal with all of that. External troubles can be things like criticism, persecution, and lies, misunderstandings that lead to conflict, trouble from family or with family, troubles from friends or with friends, trouble on the job, trouble in school, economic trouble, physical illness, disease. How about this one? Pandemics, ethnic and social unrest, and so forth and so on. Again, criticism, persecution, lies, misunderstandings that lead to conflict. Trouble from family, friends, trouble on the job, trouble in school, economic trouble, physical illness, physical disease, pandemics, ethnic and social unrest, and so forth. Man, I got to count all that joy for running up. All of that? Yes. Because, as we learned on Sunday, we know the outcome ultimately is for our good and benefit in time and for God's glory in eternity. You got to keep looking to the outcome. We have troubles, don't we? Inward trouble, external troubles. You can write it down, Job 5:7, for man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Job 5:7. Write it down, Job 14:1. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Man who is born of the woman, which means every man, is short-lived, meaning his days are few. It's only a short time. And those days that are just short are full of trouble. We know that, don't we? Full of trouble. Look at verse 3. Verse 2 again. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He's giving you the why. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, but he didn't leave us hanging. He tells us why we can count it all joy. Because there's something going on, and we're getting the behind the scenes of what's happening. That's why God is so gracious to show us why I'm telling you to count, commanding you to count in pure joy when you face all these trials. He said, knowing this, you got to know something and understand something, that your faith is being tested and that the testing of that faith will produce endurance. How many know we need endurance? Because troubles are all the time. We need to endure. We need perseverance. We need that. And so as we get ready to close, we're going to define knowing, and we'll stop there. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Knowing is ginosko in the Greek, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, G as in golf, I-N as in November, O-S-K-O, ginosko. Which means to know in the sense of realizing. We need to realize something. To become aware of the fact. And the fact is that our faith is being tested. We need to realize that our faith is being tested. Gnosko also means to recognize that our faith is being tested. To perceive, to understand completely that our faith is being tested. Do we understand that? So to know, it means to know in the sense of realizing, aware of the fact, to recognize, to perceive, to understand completely that our faith is being tested. This word also carries with it the idea of coming to know and understand through personal experience, so that you really know because you've experienced it. So again, it carries with it the idea of knowing and understanding through personal experience. It's the idea of a full understanding of something that is beyond the mere factual and is usually experiential, which means it comes from personal experience. Not just a factual, but no, I've experienced this. And I always use the thing about my dad dying, and I could tell you all day long all of the facts, how I felt, and so forth and so on. But until you experience it, then you'll know it. And until then, you won't know it like I know it. That's the kind of knowing that this word is talking about. Knowing through experience. You know that you know. Hey, my faith is being tested. Because you know that when you come through some tests already in your life in the past as a child of God, you've come out stronger. You come out stronger if you handle it the right way. If you yield it to the Holy Spirit and let the work, verse 4, I'm lost my... Yeah, that the testing of faith produces endurance. So let patience or endurance, verse 4, have its complete work through the entire trial. Let it work all the way through the entire trial. Then you'll get the benefit of being spiritually mature, whole, and lacking nothing. It's going through that trial. We want to know that. We want to know. I want to know. I don't want to assume that my faith is good. I want to know that I trust God. Because faith is trusting God, relying on God. We'll go over that too next week, Lord willing. But that's what knowing is. And what do we need to know? That the testing of our faith produces endurance. We want to know that we know that we know. Not the facts. Or not just the facts. But through experience. Amen. So Father God, I pray that we come to that kind of knowledge when we are being tested and have fallen into the middle of tests and trials, whether they are internal or external, and are completely surrounded by these tests, that if we know that our faith is being tested through experience, then we can consider it pure joy. Why? Because we know the outcome is going to be for good. It's going to be beneficial. Help us to begin to see trials as a privilege and not a liability. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.